This podcast is part of the Michigan Sports and Entertainment Podcast Network. Go to MichiganSportsAndEntertainment.com for more great podcasts.
Katie, we got to get ourselves to the Statue of Liberty's torch. Open the door. Everybody, and welcome once again to Decomposition Podcast, where we hyperanalyze all of your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Now I'm trying to remember what they're eating in the Statue of Liberty's torch.
It's the best possible thing you can eat in the Statue of Liberty's torch, but don't ruin it,
because we got to get
to those lyrics. But that is a big deal as far as I didn't know one could do that.
Oh, I got it now. I got it now. Okay. I know we do have to get to the Statue of Liberty's torch, because there's something available there, according to this song, that I didn't know was available.
Sure. Anywhere. Exactly. Joining us today, we have a new guest to Decomposition Podcast. He is a local comedian. He has his own podcast called the Ty Rainey Podcast. You have seen him on Kevin Hart's show on Comedy Central, all over the tri-state, nay, the world, I should say, because we just talked about global gigs. It is comedian Ty Rainey. Ty, welcome to our house and our podcast.
Wow, thank you. Quite an intro. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
I like to hype it up, Katie. I like the energy.
Yeah.
So our dog is being real weird right now.
Yeah, it was the intro.
I think he was excited for that intro. I was like, that's what I'm talking about.
He was totally excited about that intro. That was great.
He said, the world. Can I get a snippet of that? I want that to play in my headphones every morning.
Just motivation. Of that.
Yeah, that's
once
great.
Once we put this out there on the internet, you can have it in your headphones every single morning.
Let's do it. Thanks for having me, man.
So Ty, tell us a little bit about your podcast, your stand-up, your credits, which are excellent.
All right.
We were watching some of your stand-up actually earlier today. It was excellent.
Yeah.
It was a really good, you have a great stage presence. I think that like makes or breaks the comic 90% of the time.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I agree. You know, I think it's all in the forehead, Brad. I think that's part of the presence.
That's what they say.
It's hypnotizing. No. That's the connection.
Yeah.
You look at me, you look at my forehead, I have you. We're connected. That's it. That's how it is.
I'm locked in there right now.
Yeah. See, I got you locked in. No, I mean, thank you, man. I don't know. I guess my style or what do you ask
about? Well, tell us about the Ty Rainey podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. Tell people like where to find you.
I do the Ty Rainey podcast. It's a weekly podcast. I launch it every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. I try to do it every Tuesday at 7. And it's just like, you know, one of my listeners actually told me it sounds like a monologue. It sounds like a 40 minute.
It's like your musings on the goings on of the world.
Exactly. Like week to week. I'm not a big news guy. You know what I mean? I'm not. Please don't come to me for the news or anything. Yeah. Anything like
tie with the weather.
There is no educational value in some of the stuff I'm saying. It's just weird things and just my thoughts and just my views and outlooks on things that's happening in today. So I am covering some news, but things that I care about. So I'm giving you my perspective in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just opinionated. It's just a whole bunch of opinions. And I'm just trying to give you what's happening in my weeks prior and all the other stuff to kind of tie in to be here.
Tie in. So
on brand, right?
Yeah. I should have introduced you as the proud owner of a Bitch Please, I'm from Montclair coffee mug.
You know it. yes, absolutely. I am from Montclair, New Jersey, born and raised.
Yeah.
And raised in Montclair. Yeah. Did the whole public school system there. So
Yeah, man.
That's why I try to do things in or around Montclair, just because it's a great community.
Yeah.
It is a very artsy community there.
You know, it's really we saw a great concert in Montclair just last night, as a matter of fact.
Yes, we did. London African Gospel Choir singing all of Paul Simon's Great Slams.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was fun.
Okay.
Awesome.
Where was this at?
Wellmont Theater.
Oh, at the Wellmont.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was great. My brother got that for us as a Christmas gift.
I don't even know how he found it. We were joking that he must have just Googled like things Brad would like.
Yeah.
Because it's so niche. Like it's this weird specific thing that would be right up Brad's alley and mine too. And
but it was dope, awesome. Though, yeah.
It was great. It was great. They did like I'd say about 45 minutes of like traditional African gospel tunes and then a short set break. Then they came back and did the album Graceland in its entirety. Wow. Some of the songs they put their own twist on.
Right, of course. Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. One of those singers, the 5 foot nothing one.
Oh yeah, her name was Prudence.
Prudence was
she
that
was
name?
Tiny.
Yeah.
But could blow.
And oh my god, yeah. It was incredible.
And it was like she was singing with her whole body, like from her toes to the tip of her head.
The whole body's like an instrument. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's using everything.
At one point, she took her shoes off and threw them off stage so that she could just dance wildly while was singing. And then she handed the mic off to somebody else. And she was just like, oh my God. It was like she was, I don't know, possessed by like
the spirit of Graceland.
It gets in you. Yeah,
possessed good. In a good way.
That's so good.
But today, we are here to talk about the 1987 hit song from the band Walk the Dinosaur off of their third album, What Up Dog. This song went to number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100, number 11 on Hot Dance Club Play, number 30 on Modern Rock Tracks, and it went to number 7 on the Cashbox charts. So I love this song unabashedly. I love, 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 love this song. It is absurd.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the songs I love, it's equally absurd. You know, this song has like bits of like funk and dance and like a teeny tiny bit of rock in it, but not a ton. Like when we were talking about the Humpty Dance, for example, this song has bits of like Parliament in it.
Okay.
Much like Digital Underground has bits of Parliament in it. And this kind of has the same thing where they've like created this odd story, I think. That doesn't really make sense, but like kind of makes sense.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But Ty, you chose this song out of a couple options that we floated your way.
Yeah.
Can you tell us, generally speaking, your thoughts on Walk the Dinosaur?
Well, I chose it because it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it sure is.
I said the song is ridiculous. It'll be an interesting breakdown of the lyrics of this song.
Right.
Because the cohesion to this song is very different. You know, when you start listening to the lyrics, because I've listened, I read.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I shook my head to some of the lyrics, like, what? Like, you know, but I said, like you said, it has certain elements of Parliament and that funk. And I think the way they have the instrumentation, it kind of gets you into it. So you block out some of the lyrics, even though they are ridiculous, but you kind of get into the vibe, and then the repetitiveness of the hook and the simpleness of the hook.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of gets you into that. Yo, this is a good, friendly, like, this is a type of song they play on a carnival or some shit. Mm-hmm. You know, but this is the type of song that they will play. You know what I mean?
I feel like they need to start playing this at every single wedding.
It is that hypnosis factor again, though.
Right.
Where, like,
this song is essentially a gigantic forehead. Yeah.
Right.
Just distracts you. Like, the music is so fun. I can't speak to how good it is or not good.
It's
not a musician.
It is excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, it gets you in, like, a groove, and then you forget all the things the song is saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before we get too deep into the song, though, I do have to ask you, Ty, do you remember what the first album you ever purchased was?
Wow. When you say album, it takes me back to the vinyl days.
Okay.
I'm old school. So
that's still appreciated to this day.
I'm trying to think because there's so many. I can give you a few that I remember. I don't remember the actual first. Maybe
go for it.
Okay.
Maybe the first. Maybe one of the first was on vinyl was Roxanne Shanté.
Okay.
Yeah. Return of the Real Roxanne. Salt and Pepper.
Okay.
Push It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer.
Well, you
that
are
was on a 45.
You are a Jersey guy.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There
yes.
are rules. Sure.
Toto. Okay. I had that.
Which one? Africa, Hold the Line, Roxanne.
Africa.
Rosanna. Yeah.
And Rosanna. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jeez. There's a couple of them. Prince.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But I think the early days, like, I didn't actually buy them, but it was.
These were albums that you owned.
Right. That I owned was like the first ones was probably like, I would say Salt and Pepper, like a Bon Jovi.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That was what we were playing on the Close and Play record.
Sure.
Player.
Yeah.
You know, those are the
Close and Play record player.
Man.
Oh,
the Sony one. Don't touch it too much. Uh-huh. You might break it.
Absolutely. I know. Do you remember the first concert you ever went to?
Yeah, man. Wow. The first concert, I think it was, I want to say it was Summer Jam, but I've been to other concerts that was concerts that have been much better than Summer Jam. Well, first off, I seen Biggie perform live.
Really?
Yeah. I went to West Virginia State. This is crazy as heck.
Okay.
My reaction was silent. Like no yeah. one yeah. could see that my head snapped and my eyes snapped. My eyes just,
yeah. Because that's rare. Like, so this is what happened.
Seriously.
I can probably say maybe this was probably the best experience, but not really a concert.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to West Virginia State. This is 94.
Yeah.
During our spring break, they had somehow, I don't know how this happened, we had Biggie Smalls come down to West Virginia State.
What city is that in?
That's in Charleston. Charleston, West Virginia. Okay. Charleston yeah. Institute, West Virginia. We're in the mountains, Chemical yeah. Valley. Yeah. We were right next to the chemical plant that had the leak a few years ago.
I remember Charlestown Races and Slots was right nearby. Yes. We used to see the advertisements for that in DC all the time.
It was crazy. Yeah. Like, why would you come out to this races place uh-huh. down here? Like, at all places.
For the horse
Biggie came down.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. So he was in the gymnasium, and we all thought it was just a rumor, but we're in the gymnasium. They got these little warm-up rackets and stuff.
He would have been huge at the time.
Dude, he was just breaking out.
Yeah.
He was just coming out with like Me and My Bitch. Excuse me. That song mm-hmm.
was just like he was doing the college circuit?
He was doing the college circuit.
Okay.
And he was warming everything up with Puffy and the, you know, Junior Mafia. But I was actually watching Biggie perform about 20 feet from me from the stage.
That's insane.
It was like he's talking to us. It's like, yo, what's happening? It was the craziest thing. So that was like one of my best experiences.
Yeah,
like,
no kidding.
Biggie.
That's
know what I mean?
Crazy.
And I seen him later on at other stuff, but I think the best concert that best performance I've ever seen or best group is probably seeing the Roots perform at the Smoke and Grooves tour.
Okay.
Which is one out in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
They were also at the Wellmont last year, which is awesome.
Really?
Yeah. The Roots crew, if you don't know the Roots crew from Philadelphia, the lead artist of that is Tariq and the producer is Questlove. But if you've never been to a hip hop show, like that is the group to see.
Mm.
The Roots. They are the best because live instrumental, the way they, their songs, just the melodies, the kind
Questlove
of songs they
pick, is like a insanely talented
crazy.
Human being. Yeah.
Crazy.
I've only ever seen them perform on Fallon or on Chappelle's Block Party. Those are the only places I've ever seen the Roots play live.
Brad, you got to see them live.
Seriously.
You got to see
them
live.
If they're playing at the Wellmont, that's probably.
They were just here.
Yeah.
They were, I swear they came back. They were just, when I thought, I'm going to let you know. I'm the type of person that let people like, yo, the Roots are here. Go see them.
Yeah.
Like,
for real. I think that's probably worth the ticket price.
We obviously need to pay more attention to what's happening at the Wellmont.
Yeah.
I never think to look up what's going on there.
Oh, they
and they've
lot.
Got great stuff going
they've
on.
They've got the Yacht Rock review coming up.
which Darren
was
former
all
guest Darren is very interested in.
Did you know at the time like what you were seeing when you were watching Biggie on stage?
At that time.
Or was it just kind of like in the years that followed? You were
the
like,
years
wow.
that followed. It, you know what? At that time, a little bit, yes.
Yeah.
Because when you're down in West Virginia and you're like anything that's like identifiable from Northeast, it was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
was it getting a huge response to where Brooklyn at?
It was.
Was everybody
you know,
in
I
West
wasn't
Virginia?
Even from Brooklyn. I'm like, yeah. My cousin's from Brooklyn.
Close enough. You
know, yeah, close enough. Northeast.
Know,
that's what I'm talking
I know
about.
Brooklyn people. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think you can see how big he was going to be.
Just
from, you know, the buzz he had in the underground. And, you know, the people I went to school with too, like West Virginia, I met, you know, it was people from Chicago, you know.
Right. Okay.
People from Detroit, you know, a couple people sprinkled from Florida, you know, LA. So it was a nice little melting pot of people. And they were like, they understood the buzz too. They're like, yo, we've been listening to this cat underground too. Like,
yeah.
When he came to our school, it was just like, who pulled this shit?
That's How does it even happen?
I have no idea. And some of my friends think I'm lying to this day. Then I have to call my college roommate, like, yo, will you please tell them that Biggie was there? He's like, yo, Biggie was there. I don't know why.
Biggest act I saw at college would have been either Vertical Horizon or Tonic. And I can't even tell you how excited I was about that in the mountains of North Carolina. So,
yeah. Biggest act.
They're not legends.
Biggest act that was at UMBC while I was there was Third Eye Blind.
Yeah.
That might not be true, though. I'm remembering a year. I'm not going to remember who it was because I didn't get to see it, where there was a big hip hop act at UMBC for like we had like a festival called Quadmania in the spring, but I was in a play in the theater department and our play was running during the weekend of Quadmania. Like, who wants to see our play while this concert is happening?
Right, right.
And so we didn't get to go. But I know that was a really big act, too. And I can't remember who it was.
Well, wasn't Third Eye Blind big, I guess.
I did see Third Eye Blind, and they were good. They did a great job.
That turned you on to Third Eye Blind in the first place, didn't
it? No, I liked them before. All right. Well,
forget I said that, anything.
So, yeah.
So, back to Walk the Dinosaur, guys.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, yeah.
Ty, as our guest, would you do us the honor of reading the chorus?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we got the chorus of Walk the Dinosaur. Right? That okay, is correct. Here we go. Wait, do I got to do it in rhythm? Hold on. I'm trying to find
the
rhythm.
You do have to do like the coordinated dance.
You just read it however you want, Ty. Make it your own.
All right, here we go.
Just feel it.
Open the door. Get on the floor. Everybody walk the dinosaur. Open the door, get on the floor. Everybody walk the dinosaur. Open the door, get on the floor. Everybody walk the dinosaur. Open the door, get on the floor. Everybody walk the dinosaur. Boom, boom, akalaka, boom. Boom, boom, akalaka, boom, boom. Boom, boom, akalaka, like a boom. Boom, boom, akalaka, boom, boom.
That was perfect.
Yeah. Wow. That was perfect.
Really?
Wow. And like, nailed you got it. To do the best part of the
one
song.
One take tie. That's what they call me in the booth.
You start doing voiceover work. Yes. Right? I just start, we can watch you on the next Ice Age movie.
The boom, boom, akalaka, like a boom is the best part
I
of the
think
song.
Objectively, yeah.
And that's I like hook. That the song starts with that repeated six
oh,
times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a nonsense saying that gets trapped in your head.
Yeah.
How you said earlier today, Katie, you just had that on a loop in your head.
Actually, it's a different line looping in my mind, but I'll save that for
but
later.
But oftentimes you get the boom, boom, akalaka, laka, boom.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then you got to do like a weird dance.
You got to move your shoulders. Yeah. if you don't, something is wrong with you inside. You
there is a like a coordinated dance that they get to in the video. I have no idea what any of the steps are with the exception of like the little Loch Ness monster looking thing that they do with their hand and elbow.
Yeah.
That's
you described that movement pretty well just now.
Loch Ness monster. Yeah. Everybody gets that.
I mean, the chorus introduces for us the core problem.
Yeah.
And when I say problem, I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way. I mean like the interesting thing that's worth exploring, the problem of the song.
Of walking.
Which is that someone can walk a dinosaur.
Everybody can walk a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And it just opens the door, no pun intended, to just myriad questions about like the time period and the universe we're in. Like what alternate reality are we operating in this song where you can open the door and then walk the dinosaur?
These are great questions, but I think that the answer is it's very clearly the alternate reality of the movie Super Mario Brothers.
What?
With John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins.
Okay.
George Clinton re-recorded this song for that movie. Yes, that's right. Yeah. George Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the video for that. He changed the lyrics a little bit. It was
The Godfather of Funk?
The Godfather of Funk, the brainchild of Parliament Funkadelic himself.
Mm-hmm.
He changed the lyrics to boom boom akalaka laka goom. Boom boom akalaka goomba.
Oh.
Yeah. And
to fit the Mario theme.
Ty, the look on your face is really
I'm like, okay. I'm
it's not worth listening to. I'm gonna let you know just right off the bat. It is George Clinton did this song worse than Was Not Was.
That's so disappointing.
That is super disappointing. You know who else did this song worse than Was Not Was?
So many people, because there are a lot of covers.
There are a lot of covers, but I'm thinking specifically Queen Latifah for the movie Ice Age.
Yeah.
Jersey native Queen Latifah, UNITY herself. She really ruined this song for the Ray Romano movie Ice Age.
I don't want to believe that.
You know what? It's funny because I remember seeing Ice Age. I don't remember the song.
No, I don't.
I don't remember the song.
Count your blessings, man, because it's also not worth listening to.
Probably, yeah.
Dare I say, the only version worth listening to is by the group Was Not Was.
Is it Was Not Was or Was Not Was?
It could be either. I know that the two people behind it go by the names David and Don Was.
What? Yeah. Wait a minute. That's their last name?
That is not their actual last name.
Are they brothers?
They are not actually brothers. They pretended to be for the purposes of this song. Don was he's a very, very famous and successful producer, amongst other things. His real name is Don Fagenson. David is really David Weiss.
Okay.
So they formed this band. The name of the band is stupid, and it has something to do with how his son at the time, who was the drummer for the band Eve Six, by the way.
Also so random.
I don't know who Eve Six is, but yeah.
I would swallow my pride. I would choke on the rhymes, but the lack thereof will eat me up the inside.
Was good, though, but I still don't remember.
It was good. You're right.
That was good, though.
I'll give you that. It was good. It was like a pop punk band from the late 90s that had a couple of hits.
Okay.
Like Flash in the Pan kind of hits.
Okay.
Don't they have the One Night Stand song?
Here's to the Night We Felt Alive.
Yeah.
And they also had the song,
which was basically just written to be played at like high school graduations.
Yeah. It sounds like that. I'm going to ask Sean Majors from Throw the Flag more about Eve Six, because I have a feeling I know for a fact that that was a band he enjoyed.
This is someone who does another podcast who we've had on the show, who's great.
Yeah.
And Eve Six is probably in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And it's just not in mine.
Not yours,
I don't really know much about it.
I know they're singles, and that's about all I got. But Don was fascinated by the fact that his son would constantly, like at the time he was an infant, he was learning how to speak basically.
Okay.
And he would point to the dog and say dog, and then he would point to the cat and say not dog. And so that's why they decided to name their band Was Not Was.
But then shouldn't their band be named like Dog Not Cat?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It should be, but whatever. This is what they've done, and this is what they've left us.
Yeah, but listen to this. I mean, come on, seriously. These people, you came up with that name. You have to be under some kind of influence to come with that name and
You have to be under some kind of influence to come up with this song.
Absolutely. So, like, everything is, this is to settle.
Yeah.
It was not was.
And then to blame it on your small child.
Right.
It's wrong.
It's just wrong.
Yeah.
That's how they sleep at night.
And then they wrote a great, terrible song. So.
Yeah.
So gotta give them that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Katie, you like this song too, right?
I do. I had never heard this song until like it came up on some mix CD of yours.
Yeah.
It wasn't on my radar at all, but it has been now for the last, like, I don't know, probably 15 plus years. And
right. Yeah.
I don't think it's a good song, but it's a song I can enjoy.
I got to get behind it musically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. These guys tear it up in the song. I think the singers are great.
Oh, I did write that down. That, like, the guy with the bow tie,
I wrote his name down.
He is
Harry
a great
Bowens.
Singer. He Bowens. Hits that, like, he crazy has a strong high voice. Note.
Yeah. The musician. Are terrific. I watched a live performance of this song before. Now, Don Was is playing the bass guitar, and the bass line to this is like super funky, like awesome slap bass, really like a cool riff to it. And it gets to the point where they play the keyboard and the horn solo in this song. And these guys are, for lack of a better term, just like shredding on their instruments. The performance is so much fun. They're dancing. They're having a great time. The band is just like on point. There's just the one lady playing the cowbell. It's like straight out of that Saturday Night Live sketch. It is insane.
Now, do you think, Brad, that there is a formula for a certain hit? For hit songs, I think there is some kind of sound, some kind of formula, a certain instrument arrangement that kind of lures you and just makes it like a real popular song. Like, think of all like the super hits. Like, this is a good song, right?
Yeah, this is not a super hit.
It's not a super hit, but you could play it for every generation and people will kind of jam to it.
Yeah.
Even the shoulders.
I'm not talking about super hit. Like, this is definitely not on my, like, I'm still curious what mixtape you had that had this song on it. Like, don't burn it.
I mean, no, I it's still on my phone. Oh, you know, shuffle, you know,
it stands the test of time. Like,
agree.
You can play it at a birthday party.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Any age, probably.
Yeah. You can play this for any audience, kids, old people, everybody's going to love it.
Timeshares.
Yeah.
Sell a timeshare.
Put on a diamond ship.
Yeah. You sign your life away. Then you
get some octogenarians in there with their walkers dancing to Walk the Dinosaur.
There you go.
They're thinking like, I'm a dinosaur. I could walk a dinosaur. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
They can do that Loch Ness Monster dance because it doesn't involve their feet.
Makes them happy. You cannot be mobile and you can still do that.
Right.
You know? So I think this is one of those songs that actually crosses the platform for everyone. It even brings races and cultures together.
I think it does. Think absolutely.
Especially if you see the video. Yeah. You see this dude.
That's a mixed race group.
That's a very eclectic group. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I was looking at the person playing the cowbell. I was like, wow, she has on a suit set like she's one of the Revolution.
Gigantic shoulder pads. She could have been Sheila E.
For real. I'm looking like, this is wow. You know, if you look at the band, when you see the video, it makes it seem like a classroom full of kids. Everybody can jump in and just kind of play the instrument and have a good time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like you said, they're excellent. The band is dope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think you need a dope band because you have these lyrics.
You have to pull it off.
You got
it. If it's anything less than like excellent musically, then this song is just going to, this song is just going to be the worst thing you ever heard in your life.
There also has to be that wink at the audience in the performance. There has to be that like little bit of fun, like the self-awareness that we're doing something here that is ridiculous. And I think you get that in the performance as well. Right. Because if it, can you imagine if this were serious? Like if this were performed in like an up-tempo yet serious way, like that would be ridiculous.
Here's the thing, and I didn't want to drop this early in the podcast before we got into the lyrics, but it kind of is serious because evidently the song is somehow about like nuclear annihilation and living in the aftermath of that. You are gasping like you saw this coming.
I did see that possible interpretation of the song. And I have to say, if that is what the songwriters were going for, it's a big old fail for me.
It is a big old fail in that respect. Do you want to go ahead and read the first verse?
Sure. Because then I got some geological history of Earth to talk about.
Great. I know exactly what you're going to talk about. Because this is what I think of every time I hear this song. It's like the one factoid I've remembered about dinosaurs and how it just doesn't add up.
I've got some information here. So this is like basically the start of the story. We have a story song and here's where the tale begins.
I love a story song. Story songs are always ridiculous.
It goes wrong.
Guys, I want to write a story song. Right, like you failed line. Already. Write a lyric. Don't worry about the story. Yeah.
All right.
Who was in the room? Like, yeah.
Tell me a tale. Was.
Well, then I'm ready. It was a night like this 40 million years ago. I lit a cigarette, picked up my monkey skull to go.
which is my
favorite part of the song. The sun was spitting fire. The sky was blue as ice. I felt a little tired, so I watched Miami Vice. I walked the dinosaur.
All right. So aside from the fact that you want to tell us the lyric that's been sticking in your brain all day today.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely I lit a cigarette and then picked up my monkey skull to go.
Like he just has a monkey skull.
I sat there and I listened to that and I was trying to process. It's like, how do I feel about this guy with the cigarette for one? Well, how many years ago? Is 40 million years ago? There's no filter on this cigarette. So this is just
tobacco and paper.
He's just papyrus, burning whatever's probably. Available.
Yeah. It's 40 million years ago, folks, there is no paper.
Yeah. It's tree bark that he's somehow manipulated.
But then when he says monkey skull, I'm like, okay, wait a minute.
You don't want to forget your monkey skull, though. I mean, to be fair.
Oh, my God. I couldn't wrap my head around monkey skull because first off, as a black man, I felt offended. I was like, why does it have to be a monkey skull? Mm. Like, and my wife looked at me. Did he say monkey? Monkey skull? It kind of echoed through the house. Like, did he say monkey? I was like, yeah, but that was a weird lyric to choose. But I understand phonetically, it probably sounds good when you're singing.
That's the thing. Yeah. The sound of the words are more important than their meaning.
And I get that.
You need a two syllable animal.
Monkey skull.
That's kind of soft going into the next set of bars.
Sure.
So,
the weirdest lyric in this song.
No, definitely not. But a little one that just kind of go like, did he just say that?
But you're starting like right off the bat with something absurd.
Yeah.
So I always picture it this way, and I don't know why. There's nothing in the lyrics to defend it.
Yeah.
That he has a cocktail in his monkey skull.
I get that. That's what they're – and I thought of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
the chilled monkey brains.
I was like, all right. I can get that. I can get with that reference.
Because he is, like, ready to chill. He's lighting a cigarette. Well, what are you going to do after you light a cigarette?
He's had a couple drinks. He's a social smoker.
He's going to have a drink.
Yeah.
So he's grabbing his monkey skull, and he's going to take it to go. That's the part that doesn't work for me, because he seems like he's in the house. Where are you going? Because you're watching Miami Vice.
He's in a state with no open container law, so.
Wow.
Well, he's not even in a state.
In the post-apocalypse, where there are dinosaurs.
40 million years ago.
That was 40 million years ago. Yeah. They probably didn't have those laws at the time.
No. And you know what? Monkey skull could be the name of a drink.
It could.
That's a good
point.
And
it's probably no monkey in the drink at all.
It could be just the name of it.
I am going. There's probably no skull in the drink either.
There's probably no skull.
I'm going to look up a monkey skull drink and see what we can find.
The story behind that is interesting.
Rather picture him, although your logic is much better. I'd rather picture him with like an actual skull just filled with like an electric blue cocktail, smoking his tree bark cigarette.
With a little bit of like dry ice kind of.
Spooky. Now
I've seen
spooky.
That drink before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, the timing here, well, you look up monkey skull drink.
There's nothing.
Go ahead.
I got nothing. It's just, there is no drink called a monkey skull. Okay. We're going to make one.
Most of it's
probably not going to make one. It's
what would you
like,
put, what would you put in that? Ty, do you have any thoughts? What you would make a monkey skull? I'm thinking like banana liqueur.
Yeah.
And you've already lost me on this.
Something you got to definitely refrigerate.
Yeah.
Oh,
something.
Yeah. It needs to be cold, like a milk case. Seriously. I'm thinking like a Kahlua, like a chocolate liqueur.
Like a cask and cream.
And like the 99 bananas. That's what I'm thinking.
Just blend it in there.
Katie might
like
vomit
it.
On her
I don't
notebook.
Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, if you want to drink the worst possible drink, there it is right there. A monkey skull
monkey
straight
skull.
From decomposition to you.
I liked my version of it better. So
it's not a contest.
It is always a contest. Is this like a Star Wars situation where
a long time ago
we're dealing with a future that's labeled as the past, except this actually seems like the past?
He clearly says 40 million years ago.
Yeah. And it seems like, well, some fictionalized Flintstones prehistoric time.
Right.
But then you're saying that the song is about the post-apocalypse. Well, how can the post-apocalypse?
The fears of nuclear annihilation.
I don't think we got there yet. He's smoking cigarettes and no filter.
Yeah.
There is no fear. There is no fear.
Actually,
monkey skulls and there's just unfiltered tree bark cigarettes.
There's no fear, man. There's no fear.
But the sun is spitting fire and the sky is blue as ice. I mean, if the sun. If the sun is spitting fire, that's pretty scary.
Sure.
It's scary, but we're just using the word spit because the word spit 400 million years ago probably meant something else.
Maybe.
Here's the thing. This timeline does not add up, guys.
Right.
40 million years ago.
Can I talk about this? I have like a whole series of notes.
Break it down.
Please do.
Okay.
Please break it down.
As the teacher, please lead us in this discussion.
So 40 million years ago was actually around when the first ice age started.
Yeah.
The period from about 56 million to 33 million years ago is known as the Eocene Epoch.
Okay.
Eocene.
Sure.
So if I pronounce it wrong, I'm sorry. And there's like nothing going on then, really.
Don't correct us, dinosaur nerds.
Yeah, come on, nerd. Well, correct us, nerds. Go for it.
That's fine.
So then dinosaurs lived from the Triassic period through the Jurassic period and into the Cretaceous period.
Cretaceous.
Thank you. From around 252 million years ago to 66 million years ago. And then about 66 million years ago is when we have the mass extinction that ended the dinosaurs. So even if there were people and dinosaurs together at the same time, it wouldn't have been 40 million years ago because the dinosaurs were already gone by then.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
The note I have was. Yeah, get it
come
right.
Come on.
I have the note here that humans and dinosaurs are separated by a good 65 million years.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the other factor is that humans didn't come into play until tens of millions of years later.
When was Miami Vice invented?
In the 80s.
Yeah. That's another.
So I watched 6, Miami Vice.
Years.
I also have notes. I put down, what the hell is this brother talking about?
Sure.
That's what I put.
Yeah.
It was making no sense at all. Like you said,
this guy is
fire.
Basically, he's just reading the words that were handed to him in a studio. That's what he's doing.
He's pulling words out of a hat.
Yeah.
And he's just going ahead. Yeah. Watch Miami Vice. And the sun was spitting fire.
Do you think
the word
they were
was
like,
spit. So he had to do something.
Yeah.
Do you think he was getting money from like Don Johnson in Miami Vice?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Probably.
You seen that suit?
It was a good looking suit. Now. That was a nice 80s suit. Sleeves rolled up and everything. Man. Did you own any of those suits?
I didn't, but I always wanted like a skinny leather tie.
I love skinny ties. Yeah. I'm not ashamed. I love a tie. I love a good tie. If it's skinny, yeah. I'm on board.
It's back in the 80s, like risky business when you had like the electric blue shirt and the black leather tie.
You get that Elvis Costello look about you.
Yeah.
Elvis Costello, by the way, has writing credits on this album.
What?
He wrote for Was Not Was.
But not this song.
Not this song.
Okay.
No. My goodness.
But that's interesting.
So this is why I have this whole verse, the way the song starts and frankly continues, is why I have to argue that the story that's being told takes place in some kind of alternate universe where humans and dinosaurs live together and the geological development of the Earth followed a totally different timeline than the universe we live
in. So I'm sticking by the Mario Brothers theory.
Okay.
Because
Yoshi.
Well, not only Yoshi, but also the Koopa Troopas, those are all dinosaurs, and Bowser is certainly some type of dinosaur-esque villain.
Okay.
So that's why I think
I see where you
maybe this song wasn't written about the Mario Brothers timeline, but it certainly works well with that kind of alternate reality where humans and dinosaurs live together and have Miami Vice at their disposal.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Fair. I mean, I've never seen any references to Miami Vice in a Mario Brothers game.
I mean, it wasn't huge. It was just something this guy did on the side. Well, they got reruns of Miami Vice going on. I think I'll just tune it out. Keep in mind, the singer is not a Mario brother.
Mm.
He just lives in that world.
Okay.
He's just one of the innocent bystanders to Mario Brothers shenanigans.
Got it. So, I guess.
Harry Bowens. Although the one who sings about Miami Vice goes by the name Sweet Pea Atkinson.
Is he the one with like the gravelly voice?
He's the raspier voice. I felt a little tight.
The dude with the hat in the video.
The dude with the hat.
Okay. And his shirt opened like here.
Oh, that was the swag back in the 80s. You got to show that chest here.
The collar was gigantic.
Oh, when that Brad was gigantic. Said to here, by the way, he meant to like just between the pecs.
I went straight sternum.
People can't see where you're pointing when you say to here.
That's not my fault.
Yeah. But I knew what you meant because it's right there. Because right where the sweat kind of collects.
Oh, yeah.
That's the sexiness.
Absolutely. That's where the diamond forms.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking
about.
That's
what ties it all in right there.
That's what ties it.
Oh, another one. Ah, oh, you got me.
You can't use the word tie.
I can't use
it. It's very on brand.
That's interesting.
So tell it what else about the verse, Katie?
I mean,
were those the discrepancies?
That sums it up for me. Yeah.
Everything else is fine. Anything that doesn't have to do with the story is fine. The sun was spitting fire. The sky was blue as ice. Okay, great. Those are set pieces. Mm. That works anywhere.
Well, no, those definitely have to do with the story, though. It feels like it's a night like this one 40 million years ago. He's just chilling, but like the apocalypse is near.
Or has just passed. But here's the thing.
Or has just passed.
He picked up his monkey skull to go.
Yeah.
Which, first of all, he rhymes a go with go.
Right.
That's an issue.
Not great.
That's a problem. That's bad writing.
Try harder.
Try a lot harder. But where was he going? Because he's obviously tired and in the mood to watch Miami Vice.
Right. Maybe he stopped somewhere on the way home. Got a monkey skull to go.
Sure.
And then like went home to chill and watch Miami Vice.
A monkey skull shop or a bar that serves our newly invented monkey skull drink.
Mm-hmm.
Just got into one of those big stars. He lives in Savannah. I'm saying it's Savannah. They've got no open container law. You can just grab a frozen drink to go.
You can go into like a souvenir shop and get a beer, like a draft beer, and then
walk down by the river. It's lovely.
Well, you know,
it's my favorite American city.
He felt tired because I guess it was really hot. I'm framing it as like a hot day because the sun is spitting. It's spitting fire.
Sure. Mm-hmm. The sun always spits fire, whether or not it's a hot day, though, to be fair.
It does.
Astrologically
so
speaking.
So with the ice blue sky, I'm like, wow, it's really hot out. So he grabbed
astronomically speaking.
With the monkey skull, I guess it's like a cool beverage.
Yeah.
The monkey skull.
Yeah. Well, you said dry ice before.
Yeah, I see dry ice cooler coming out than this thing. No, especially if your sun's spitting fire. I don't want a hot drink.
You see that smoke billowing out of the top of
For me, this is like this world's version of a cocktail and a coconut, which you're going to drink on like a
Yes.
On a hot day to cool you down.
Yes.
So I think we're on the same page about the monkey skull. I think we
are. Doesn't make any sense, but at least we're on the same page about it.
I mean, there is a story. It's just an absurd story.
It's a bad story.
It is.
Not just absurd, but like straight up bad.
All right. I don't know.
Would you adapt this as a movie?
No. Yeah, maybe.
It's a bad story.
Could it be a kid's movie without the cigarette, clearly?
And the monkey skull beverage.
Yeah.
It could be a juice.
Banana juice and what?
I think it's just the words, man. It's just some fun words.
Yeah.
Like we were saying, words.
The sound of the words more important than the meaning.
Yeah, like who gets upset when you hear like, you know, Miami Vice, you know, and like
nobody.
Nobody. You know, monkey skull, ice blue sky, all that. I don't know. It's just this is very
I'm still gonna sing this at the top of my lungs.
I'm still gonna I'm gonna two step to it.
You're gonna two step.
I'm still gonna do a two step.
Especially when you get into
shoulder dance.
Yeah. That's a good shoulder dance though. I'll do Loch Ness.
Nice.
Yeah.
Brad, do you want to read the second verse?
I would love to.
Oh, let's get to it.
I met you in a cave. You were painting buffalo. I said I'd be your slave, follow wherever you go. That night we split a rattlesnake and danced beneath the stars. You fell asleep, I stayed awake and watched the passing cars. That's romantic. That is romance. That is like,
wow,
40 million years ago, post-apocalyptic romance at its best.
That's nuts. So is the speaker immortal and or incredibly old and is
or just insane?
And is the subject also incredibly old? Because if they fell in love in a cave 40 million years ago.
Right.
Right.
Like, but he's talking to us now. Is he talking from beyond the grave? It feels like they're still alive.
He's recalling the life of his past life.
Oh.
Okay. Now, this is really deep.
Okay.
I can tell by your tone of voice. You got into a deep tone of voice.
I had to get serious.
Don't
with
ever
you guys.
Apologize. You be you, all right?
Okay. Well, here it is. The brother's a time traveler.
Okay.
He's the first black spaceman.
Okay.
So he is back giving you details of what's going on. And it's kind of like scattered thoughts of what's been happening over through his time travel. The dinosaurs, the monkey skull, the woman he met in the cave painting buffalo. These are all bits and pieces of his travels through time.
Our dog has to go and
see.
I want to point out that I just looked up the first black spaceman.
There we go.
I'm not going to pronounce his name correctly.
No. What's his name?
Guion, G-U-I-O-N, Bluford.
Dion Bluford Guion. I don't know. That might be.
I'm just like, wait a second. Am I
Katie, what's your take on his last name?
Wait.
We're stumped.
I didn't get to see it.
G-U-I-O-N.
Because Guion is probably French.
Guion Bluford.
African-American Bluford. Astronaut. Guion Stewart Bluford Jr., Ph.D., born November 22nd, 1942. This is somebody that we should learn about in school.
I don't think that's accurate. I think he was born 400 million years ago.
He was born 40 Brad. Million 40 years ago.
40, sorry, 40 million years ago, Brad.
That's true. Wikipedia has his stats all wrong.
See, the reason I think that the subject, the person he's talking to in this verse, is also 40 million plus years old.
Right.
Is because
40 million 35 years, I'd
he's
say.
He's talking to this person he loves in the here and now. Like, yes. It's now. It's the present.
There are passing cars. There is Miami Vice.
No.
No?
No. There was passing cars in Miami Vice then, too.
Like a Flintstones world. Version. Yeah.
Mm.
But I'm just saying that he's talking about the past.
Okay.
He says, I met you in a cave in the past, but I'm talking to you about having met you in a cave in the past right now. So like that happened 40 million years ago.
Right.
And right now I'm like recounting the day we met to you. It's like if I said to Brad, 20 years ago, we met my high school because you came to see a play.
Mm-hmm.
Except instead of 20 years ago, it's 40 million years ago.
Mm, okay.
It feels like the Bare Naked Ladies song, It's All Been Done Before.
It's All Been Done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where like they're going through periods of history and all like the different ways.
Before the fall of Rome.
Knew
before
each other
the West was won.
And fell in love. But like it's the same couple. they've been together all this time. But I I'm with you on like the time travel bit.
Time travel ties it in.
You know what I'm not seeing? Nuclear annihilation.
No.
You don't see that.
No. No. Am I missing something? Does anybody see something about nuclear annihilation that
I don't know. You're pushing that really heavy there. I don't see the nuclear.
That's not my fault. That's the internet's fault. The internet put that in my notebook. I can't do anything about it.
Because I wouldn't see cars passing by.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I don't think it would be as happy as a memory as, you know, met you in a cave while you were riding buffalo.
Yeah, it certainly would not be this cheerful, you know?
Your flesh was melting off your face. I can see your skull.
So
like,
what
is, I guess what I'm trying to figure out, and maybe the answer is like, there is none, but I'm trying to figure out like, what is the purpose behind this juxtaposition of modern and ancient or even prehistoric stuff? Like, why do we have them existing together? Is it time travel? Is it like when the TARDIS explodes in Doctor Who and all time is happening at once? Is it just there is no explanation for this and I should stop thinking so hard about
That's a bingo right there, Katie. That is a bingo. I think that they just wanted to have this like upbeat, fun, danceable song. And I think they killed it in that respect.
I think they did. I think they did have a little bit of Land of the Lost in mind.
Maybe
just to touch it,
trying to update that a little bit.
Marshall, Will, and Holly, this is the story of them. Yeah.
You know?
Can I tell you a little bit about the band members that appeared on this album?
Please.
So there were members from Parliament. There was jazz trumpeter Marcus Belgrave, vocalists Mel Torme, Katie, the Velvet Fog. Ozzy Osbourne did a spoken word bit on this album.
Did he really?
Yeah. And Frank Sinatra Jr.
What?
Yeah. Is that wild?
That's nuts.
Yeah.
How? How did they get all of these people
because
together?
Because Don was is a huge deal. This
super
guy,
producer.
This guy is, yes, he is a gigantic super producer. He's worked with Bonnie Raitt, Ziggy Marley, the Rolling Stones. He was a director and musical consultant for the movies Thelma and Louise, Hope Floats, Tin Cup, Phenomenon, Days of Thunder, Boys on the Side, Toy Story, plenty of others. He is the president of jazz at Blue Note Records, which put out John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk, Miles Davis, Nora Jones. He produced B-52's album Cosmic Thing, which includes the song Love Shack.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Other artists he's worked with, Michael McDonald, Iggy Pop, Bob Dylan, Elton John, Bob Seger, Ringo Starr, Roy Orbison, Willie Nelson, David Crosby, Jackson Browne, Waylon Jennings, Brian Wilson, Garth Brooks as Chris Gaines, and of course, one of my favorites, the Bare Naked Ladies. He produced the album that It's All Been Done appears on.
Yep. That's so interesting. And he wrote this song.
Yeah.
He wrote this song. All right. There's a good thematic connection then.
I did not know that. Look at that.
See? Look at that. Learning something new every
Amazing.
Day.
Amazing.
So this guy has a serious musical pedigree.
Yeah.
He,
it's so weird.
The two members of Was Not Was appeared in the background of this song. Mm-hmm. Don Was played the bass guitar, which is super funky. Mm. Like excellent bass guitar work on that guy. And the other guy, David Was, he did the keyboard part.
Is it weird that this band or this group is made up of two people and those two people are not really the featured artists?
Is that weird? No. Jim Steinman.
Okay.
Did the same thing.
True. Yep.
He certainly was no Meatloaf.
Right. But he did release an album, as we've talked about many times. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
He had Miles Kennedy singing for him. All sorts of acts like that.
All right.
I guess if you can put it together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the mastermind behind it all.
I mean, you're a conductor.
Yeah.
More than anything.
You have
a conductor
that
and a composer.
That's your creative ability. You have that ear to have a song like this with lyrics that have no cohesion to anything and still be something that we shake our shoulders to.
Absolutely.
And kids are dancing and old people are doing a dinosaur movement.
As we've speculated.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised about the amount of people that he's actually worked with, you know, successful artists that we all, you know, can recognize, like he have an ear. So no doubt your list is that long.
Yeah.
I just think it's atypical for the vocalist in a song to like be the hired gun.
Yeah.
You know, you think of like the guitar, like the vocalist is the front man, is the band.
Well, and I mean, like, they were part of the band.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. They're part of the band in the background, and the vocalist is
That's what I'm saying. Okay. The vocalists were, like, they were all, the like, band. Technically parts
They're
of
just
the
not
band.
The founding members of what's
Yeah, exactly. Not the reason for which the band was named.
Got it. So. Okay. I get it. I said I'd be a thing. Follow wherever you go. That night we spent a rattlesnake and danced beneath the stars.
You fell asleep. I stayed awake and watched the passing car. Hey, do you want to go ahead and read verse 3 for us?
I don't even know where verse 3 is. Isn't the bridge before that?
Oh, yeah. Read us the bridge, because this is... This is relevant.
Oh, no. I think we got to come back to Ty. It's definitely Ty's turn. And he should read
the bridge. Oh, here is the bridge.
The bridge and the spoken word section. How do you feel about that?
All right, Ty. Like, I've never even heard that. Did we hear that? Yeah, I did hear it.
But not in the video. So, Ty, would you go ahead and read us the bridge and the spoken word bit, please?
You got it. Here comes the bridge. One night, I dreamed of New York. You and I was roasting blue pork in the Statue of Liberty's torch. Here goes the spoken word. All right. Elvis landed in a rocket ship, healed a couple of lepers, and disappeared. But where was his beard? And disappeared.
Yeah.
But where was his beard?
None of that makes any sense at all.
No.
But can we talk about roasting pork?
Blue pork at that, bro.
Yeah, of all the porks out there.
I don't eat pork, especially not blue pork. That's not happening.
I wouldn't eat blue pork. I love pork, but I don't think I could get down with blue pork.
I mean, this is why you suggested at the top of the episode that we needed to get ourselves into the Statue of Liberty's torch.
That's right.
But you don't even want to eat what they're serving there.
Not that, but if they let you roast pork. Pork in general in the Statue of Liberty's torch. R.I.P. Peter Tork of the Monkees, by the way, passed away this week. If I were roasting blue pork and I knew what was going into it, I would eat that blue pork. But,
I wouldn't eat the blue pork.
Well, you just said you don't eat pork in general.
I would be super turned off if it was blue.
If it was blue chicken or something.
I think anything blue.
That's blueberries.
Like a poultry.
Yeah.
Meat.
Any blue meat.
Anything blue meat.
Muppet.
Yeah.
I don't think
doesn't
we should
seem
be
right.
Yeah. Because there's no refrigeration 40 million years ago. So
that's a good point. They
maybe
just,
a lot of
maybe
it's blue.
Coat it with salt and hope for the best. But, you know, that's.
Maybe the blue is a preserve.
Guys. I've just realized that we were much too hard on the bridge.
Go for it.
It starts with one night I dreamed of New York.
This is a dream.
Katie. Who hasn't had a kooky dream before?
That's a good point.
You're right, Katie. So maybe I would eat the blue pork in a dream.
That's true.
Maybe
no.
That's
a fair point.
I don't know.
And like maybe the spoken part is just a continuation of that dream. Now, how this fits in the story as a whole, I have no idea.
Sure.
I can't defend it as part of the story.
Well.
Oh, can you?
I can.
Okay.
In his defense, he did have that monkey to go.
That's true.
I don't know what's in there.
A couple monkey skulls deep and
you know what I mean? Like you have a rough night and you take a nap or go to sleep.
Sure.
You can dream easily. The bridge and the spoken word part off a monkey skull.
Yeah.
Figure like the hangover from that with the spitting sun, that combination.
Let me ask you this though. Let's say I came up to you and told you about this ridiculous dream I had about roasting pork, not even eating, just roasting. Ty, you wouldn't eat the pork, but would you roast the pork in the Statue of Liberty's torch?
Why not?
Yeah, sure.
There's plenty of ventilation.
All right. Just smoke out the torch. Yeah.
It's a place to do it.
I like the practicality of your answer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I come up to you and I tell you this just like batshit insane dream about Elvis and roasting pork and healing lepers. Your first question after that, would it have to do with Elvis's beard? Because that does seem like a response to this dream.
He said, but where was his beard?
Not on his face. Elvis didn't have a beard.
He didn't have a beard.
But yeah.
It's like a Jesus illusion, though, because
he's healing lepers.
Jesus heals leopards and oh, God.
Oh, boy.
I just said leopards. So
was this a misprint in the Bible? Did King James get this all wrong?
Yeah, guys. In the alternate reality of this song, right. I'd like to assume that Elvis healed leopards.
Leopards.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, just like Jesus healed lepers.
Lepers,
sure. Or something. Let's make this more confusing. Good job, me.
Way to knock it out of the park, teacher.
I don't even remember what I was going to say. Jesus had a beard, maybe.
Jesus did have a beard. So Elvis is Jesus. Is Elvis the savior in this particular?
I think that's what he's look.
Yeah.
It's very. Yeah,
but in a rocket ship.
This is nuts.
This is absolutely nuts.
Absolutely crazy.
And then we get a keyboard solo followed by a saxophone solo, which is excellent and 1000%
unnecessary.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many instrument solos do you need in one song?
Well, the genius in this is probably in the mixture of drugs, because you got to be to put all that do that.
These are not downer drugs.
No,
absolutely not. No. Like I'm thinking mushrooms, some type of psychedelic.
Yeah.
Or just like an upper of some kind. I mean, this is the 80s, right?
Yeah. Just a lot of poppers.
Just like a little cocaine. Just a little bit.
Just a touch.
Just a touch.
A jump rope to get some of that energy away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I would love to picture them doing like just a little bit of cocaine and then jump roping while writing this song.
Just like to balance yourself out in the studio. Just jumping rope. Here's some double dutch happening.
I got some thoughts going. Let me jump this rope real quick.
I'm thinking too fast, man. I'm thinking too fast.
Coke will slow you down. Jump rope.
I gotta play this keyboard solo. I gotta play this saxophone solo.
Yeah, because you feel the sax when you hear it. Oh, I feel it, man.
I love like a wailing sax solo. I always joke that it's like a hot sax scene. Like, man, I am on board, especially in like a funkier song like this.
Yeah.
Too. I wouldn't go for a keyboard solo anywhere other than like an upbeat funky song like this.
Hmm.
I know that two solos are unnecessary, that they're excessive, but I like them in this song. I'm on board.
Yeah, I like them too, because everybody got to get their
keep
shine.
Keep it going. Everybody's got to get their shine.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying about the live performance that I watched of it earlier, I think they like absolutely wailed on that stuff. You know, they just like absolutely shredded on these instruments. And I think in a live setting, that is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
I can take it or leave it in a lot of pop
albums.
Songs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to be like a real kind of like hooky distinct solo that I can like hum afterwards for me to really be on board with it.
But for a song like this, you might as well keep the crowd dancing, you know?
It keeps you on the floor a little bit longer. It adds other instruments to the, you know, like you said, everybody is an excellent musician.
Yeah.
So that makes all the difference. If it sucked, you'd be like, yeah, you could
wrap it up already.
Absolutely.
Could have finished this song 40 seconds ago.
That's right.
The keyboard player is a guy whose name I wrote down. I can't even read my own handwriting. Jamie Muhabarak, I think. I don't know what these letters are supposed to be. But he has worked with other artists such as the All-American Rejects, Fleetwood Mac, Rolling Stones, Backstreet Boys, My Chemical Romance, straight out of Belleville, right around the corner here.
Fleetwood Mac.
I love Fleetwood Mac. Chris Cornell, Bowling for Soup, and the Pet Shop Boys. So this is another guy with like serious chops and serious credentials to his resume right there.
Damn.
Everybody's just having fun on this song then. That's the answer.
Yeah. I think like, that is the answer.
Just a bunch of great musicians
got
together and did, as Brad called it before, a batshit crazy song and just like enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Just enjoyed it.
And was, I guess, quarterback the whole thing.
Basically, yeah.
And that's what you need, a good quarterback and some really great musicians, and you can just grab lyrics out of a hat.
You don't fight a war. You don't fight a war without a general.
No,
you
know? Absolutely.
It's either cocaine and jump ropes, or it's just like magnetic poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This does feel a little bit like
dark
magnetic
crystals or something like that. It's something, a lot of low light.
So Walk the Dinosaur has recently become like a big meme online
What?
Through the use of like the website like 4chan. okay. for example. People have just started typing out stories and then adding lines from Walk the Dinosaur into them. And that's become like a whole thing. Mm. Like if you were to Google Walk the Dinosaur meme, there are pages and pages and pages of results.
Okay.
And somehow this song has made it back into like the pop culture stratosphere.
All right. I will make sure some of them end up on our like Instagram.
Yeah, seriously. And it's there. I don't warn you. They're not good.
Nah,
they're not going to make you laugh out loud.
I'll dig for the least bad ones.
But it does. It does make me happy to say like, hey, the youths out there are really getting on board with Walk the Dinosaur. I can celebrate that.
Well, they grew up with it in the Ice Age movie.
That's true. That's a good point.
That is true.
The Queen Latifah garbage version.
Back to the original.
Yeah.
They probably said, I want to hear the original.
Let me get back to my Don Was roots.
Man, I'm just thinking about this, and the story does not hang together. It just jumps around. I know we were just like celebrating the song. Right, now I'm right. a hater, but like I keep trying to make the bits of this story work, but they don't work together. They're interesting little vignettes, but there's no thread
there's
except
no
for
connective tissue. Yeah,
right.
That holds them together.
Do you want to wrap up this story for us, Katie? Knock out this last verse and the change in the chorus.
Yes, sure. A shadow from the sky, much too big to be a bird, a screaming, crashing noise louder than I ever heard. It looked like two big silver trees that somehow learned to soar. Suddenly, a summer breeze, a mighty lion's roar. I killed the dinosaur. I killed the dinosaur. And then open the door, get on the floor. Everybody kill the dinosaur. You know, eight times, which I'm not going to read it eight times.
Yeah.
Yeah. This song took a left.
Yeah.
Real quickly. Like, not even at the end, but it just took a real left. Like, how are you... See, now this questions everything. Like, how are you killing the dinosaur with children dancing to this song? Like,
right.
Do you go with the Queen Latifah shitty remix because they're not killing the dinosaur?
Right.
Because...
Yeah. I don't know. Have you seen The Land Before Time? I mean, they kill dinosaurs in that kids movie, and I cried and cried.
And it is the truth. I mean, did he kill the dinosaurs with these silver things from the sky? What killed them?
You ever see the sitcom Dinosaurs? The season or a series finale was the dinosaurs going extinct.
I never watched that show.
You remember that show?
The little baby dinosaurs? Not the mama.
Yeah.
I remember
okay.
that.
Yeah.
I never really got into that show.
Well, spoiler alert for that 20-year-old show, they all die
they
in
all
the end.
They all die in the very last episode.
Oh, yeah. What happened to the people who landed the Lost? Did that just kind of, did they die too?
I don't know. I mean, that was the center of the Earth, so they may have survived.
True,
you know?
That was the center of the Earth.
Whatever happened to the people from the Flintstones? Let's do this with all weird stuff.
All weird dinosaurs.
I don't know.
Whatever happened to the Mario Brothers?
They're still around.
Yoshi's
still around.
Is
that an piping system? That's
right.
There.
They're just swimming through
so
piping systems.
Yes. This is the verse that's the apocalypse, right?
I think so. I think their descriptive prowess here is really terrible. Two big silver trees.
Are nuclear bombs.
Yeah. Do they look like silver trees, though?
No, but they're like big, long objects that are
they
silver.
Are they planes dropping bombs?
Maybe.
Silver trees.
That's like one hell of a way to go.
That somehow learned to soar. But, I mean, it's not... It's not well done.
Two big trees...
Is it like somebody getting nuked who has no idea what nukes are?
And suddenly a summer breeze and a mighty lion's roar. It's like suddenly it got real hot and...
These are the only...
There was a roaring sound.
Yeah.
From the impact of the crash. The brah.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
This is the only way I can think of to describe this action because I don't have the vocabulary to describe this action.
Yeah, there's definitely something flying in and creating a destruction. You've got the shadow from the sky that's much too big to be a bird. So that's probably like the plane you're talking about.
Right.
I think the two big silver trees would be like missiles of some kind. And then we have the heat and the roar, which is the explosion. But then why I killed the dinosaur? I killed the dinosaur.
Guilt.
Yeah.
The guilt of man.
beautiful.
Wow, that is hilariously serious.
I think the two silver things was Goose and Maverick coming in, basically, dropping bombs, yeah. And mm-hmm. the guilt of man. They killed the dinosaur. I don't know. This guy...
I think that was John Travolta and Christian Slater breaking arrows. Oh, wow. So, did he kill the dinosaur?
I don't know. Is walk the dinosaur and kill the dinosaur some kind of unidentifiable metaphor? Like, is that a metaphor for...
I think you're onto
it. I mean, it has to be a metaphor. There's no other explanation than it's a metaphor, because it's clearly not literal. But what is the metaphor? Like, what is the comparison that's being made? Is dinosaur like man before the apocalypse? And we killed the dinosaur, not as in like dino dinosaurs, but as in like mankind that existed pre-apocalypse. This is hurting my brain.
You know what I'm going to say? Like, I feel like we are almost like we're doing a disservice to Was Not Was and Walk the Dinosaur.
I don't know. I think it's bigger than that, guys.
Okay.
I think Dan was. I'm a reach on this one.
Yeah,
this
is, please.
I'm getting deep.
Go.
You
go
have long arms. You can do deep. It.
Now,
I feel confident.
Because just looking at all the lyrics in the song, right? The melody, how it kind of traps you.
Sure.
And I think everyone can agree that this is a happy song. It puts you in a good mood.
Right.
Yeah. And majority of the people probably wouldn't say, hey, turn this crap off.
Yeah.
You know, they'll probably say, you know what? Let this play. I kind of like this. Uh-huh. So I think this song is probably a reflection of our society. Like, this song kind of brings everyone together so we can all walk the dinosaur together in harmony, no matter who you are.
Well,
you
this goes admit, back to, yeah, we're talking
this
about
is
that
like,
before.
This is the song that you hear when you're traveling abroad. You can hear this song somewhere on an island.
Okay.
As you're getting your luggage and stuff sorted out with the bellhop or the front desk, and you're like, oh, can we take your baggage? And all of a sudden you hear, that is tying people together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the reference
tying
that they're making.
People,
oh,
dude.
There you go, Brad. You know it. But I think it's pulling people together. There we go. And I think the shadow from the sky and all this other stuff, this right here is a weird reference, but after the keyboard and the saxophone solo, that's like the moment where everybody's happy and having a good time. And all of a sudden, you know, we start to dilute this good time with all this other crap. And then all of a sudden we have these silver planes and they come and crash down and they killed our dinosaur, which was the glue to our harmony.
So this is a representation of the things that tear us apart.
That's exactly. It comes right back to that.
I accept it. No, I accept
it. I have a separate theory. What if the narrator is also a dinosaur who has been in love for two verses and then was annihilated?
What? How did we not think about this before?
So you say the dinosaur is singing this?
A dinosaur. Yeah.
He's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
He's having a monkey skull. Yo. He's watching Miami Vice. He's falling in love in a cave.
Yeah.
He's having a weird dream because of the monkey skull beverage, and then he gets wiped out, and he's talking to us from after being wiped out.
At the end, he gets wiped out.
But he's the speaker.
He's recalling the story.
Brad, you just changed everything. We got to start over.
This is crazy.
Just changed the game, guys.
That is crazy.
Now that you put the dinosaur as the actual person telling the story. That's amazing.
Let's not look at it too closely. Let's just say it works. Let's say Ty's theory works and your theory works.
And this song is flawless.
And the song is perfect.
I agree.
100%.
I agree.
No one scratched the surface of anything we've said. So. Or like, come at us, nerds, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. At me, whatever. Wow. At Dave was, right? At him. He'd probably say you guys were spot on. You never know.
Don and David, yeah.
Don and Dave was.
Should we talk video?
It's kooky.
It is kooky. It's a set piece.
Yeah.
It definitely is all caveman right up until the yuppies dance at the end.
There are actually no cavemen in the video. There's only cave ladies.
Cave persons. Yeah, in their cave cloths.
They bought their sexy cave woman costumes straight out of Party City.
They were hot cave women.
Yeah. And did you notice how oiled up they were? They were very oiled up.
Very.
It was oily 40 million years ago. It was oily.
That's a little dangerous with a spitting hot sun.
Yeah, it was mostly like tar pits.
Those ladies were about to burst into flames.
They were.
Yeah. They were.
Sun with their spitting hot fire.
Yeah. But they also had TVs playing old like Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Man and dinosaur living together.
That was framed out in stone. That was mm-hmm.
basically. What'd you say? It looked like a microwave?
It looked like a microwave. It was like, yeah. What's going on here?
It looked like stone made out of styrofoam for like a children's play.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a good video.
Pretty good.
I don't understand why the yuppies were there at the end dancing.
No, up with the random group who comes in to join the dance at the end is the only thing
we don't
I wrote down
see
about.
Before then.
No.
It looked like the staff to help like organize the video. Hey, get the guy from lighting over here.
The best
get Carol
boy Griff.
From yeah. 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 Like, you know what I mean? Hey, put that down. Get catering over here.
Carol.
Those guys.
Yeah. Where's Bob?
Yeah.
With the cowboy hat. Get him. Get
Bob,
him.
Do that move you were doing earlier. Get in here. Like, you know,
explaining the dance. Does anybody remember the dance aside from the Loch Ness Monster bit?
There were little moves, like the arms move over each other.
The open the door.
And then,
part, like that.
I thought that was a huge reach. I was just watching. I didn't really, I was like, ladies, this is a huge reach. They were really trying to get us to do a long.
I think they wanted this dance, this to be like an electric slide style.
Yeah, like a group dance.
And I think it probably was very popular for children.
Yeah.
But the video, you had to grab the adults, so that's why we had the ladies just, you know, being sexist. We got to just have them looking oily
sex
in
sells,
a two-piece.
Man.
Yeah, it's the 80s,
it's,
you know.
It's definitely
We've
the
80s. We've seen worse in the 80s.
It's definitely,
come on.
Because the guys were looking very handsome with their mullets.
The bow tie? That little,
oh, bro.
Oh, man. Yeah.
There were some pretty sweet sunglasses.
Tuxedo. Yeah.
Yes.
It was definitely going on.
Had the brother with the suspenders and the jerry curl. That was a big deal. He was up. And I don't even think he was playing an instrument. He was like kind of dancing and like enjoying it.
Was that wasn't the other singer.
I don't know if he was a singer.
No, the other singer had
the other singer had the jacket and the butterfly collar.
With the hat.
Oh,
there was another
hat.
Dude with suspenders with a black shirt on, younger kind of black dude. And he's like,
doing an excellent.
He was doing like an excellent, like, get on the, like, boom, chaka. I don't know what he was doing, but he was a part of it.
Shoulder pads on the cowbell.
Yeah.
Oh, she was good too.
She was into that.
Yeah.
Fake Sheila. And then just like a bunch of middle-aged folks come in to dance.
Golf shirts tucked into their khakis. Yeah.
Just bringing everybody together. That's the togetherness vibe.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's
peace and humptiness forever.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this is.
That's how songs last.
That's right.
I don't want to grade this song.
I think you're going to need to just for
grade it.
Branding. Here.
Grade it, Katie.
What's the assignment?
Oh, boy.
If we go with the speaker is the dinosaur.
Yeah.
So if it's like, write a post-apocalyptic song where you make a creative choice about the speaker. Mm. I don't know, like a B.
Okay.
If those are the parameters of the assignment.
That's oddly specific.
If anything else.
That's the only way to give this like a passing grade, basically. Yeah.
Well, it's going to get a passing grade. Like it's got the fun factor.
It was turned in on time.
It has figurative language in it. Like you got to give it at least like a C+ for like understanding of literary devices. And
so depending
stuff
on
like
the
that.
Assignment, you're having it float between a C
and
a B. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really trash it that bad. You know what I mean?
No.
It's one of those, it has a good feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still feel good listening to this song, you know, 30 some odd years
later. Well, you would say the music gets an A. I'm
music
not a music
gets an
teacher,
A
but.
Plus smiley face. Absolutely. Extra credit.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Extra credit.
I agree with that.
Nice.
Windows down, radio up.
Absolutely. Every time. Every time. I am rolling all the windows in my car down, and I'm singing very loudly.
Yeah. Ty, windows down, radio up?
Nah. Maybe if I'm messing around with my family, maybe.
Okay.
If I'm by myself, I probably turn it down and probably say, yeah, this is a good one.
You don't just listen to this to unwind after a long day.
This is not something I'm going to, yeah, let me
it
pop
comes
a little,
on, you don't turn it off, but you turn it down.
I turn it down a little bit. You know, I turn it down. I was like, oh, okay. You know, it's cool.
You don't want to think about it too deeply, so you just turn it down a little.
Yeah, because it's more of like a vacation resort kind of, you know, song. Like, let's get to know the strangers we're going to be on this cruise with for a couple of days, you know, so we don't walk around, you know.
I could see this on a dance floor on a cruise with a bunch of middle-aged. Yeah.
Right after feeling hot, hot, hot. Right
after that. You get through the conga line, then you walk the dinosaur.
Yeah. Perfect.
Ole, ole. That's what it is.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going windows down, radio up all the way. I've loved this song for 32 years, and I'm going to keep loving this song
all right.
for the foreseeable future. despite its ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
cool. Boom, boom, akalaka.
Akalaka, laka, boom. Tell me you don't sing that.
Oh, that, boy, all that, the that time. I'm yeah. going to sing regardless if it's on or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is
boom, on your way home tonight, you're going to be, yeah, just boom, in the car.
And
yeah.
everybody's yeah. going to do a funny voice on Monkey Skull to Go. Yeah. You can't, like, you can't resist it. Yeah.
So, Ty, before we finish up, do you want to tell us about any upcoming dates you have?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, absolutely. I actually co-produce a comedy show in Bloomfield, New Jersey with another comic, Rachel Cabrera, at the Town Pub.
If she anybody, was on our Walk Like an Egyptian episode. You yes. guys have a walk theme.
Yes.
For that's your true. Duo.
You see how
and
we
that
did
dance
that?
Is a little bit similar,
it
too.
Is.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. It I
very
love
is.
It.
You see how we did that? We didn't even know that.
Wow.
Just but, like kismet.
Yes. So I'm definitely rocking out with my homegirl, Rachel Cabrera. We do a mic called The Good Vibes Comedy Show at the Town Pub in Bloomfield on Broad Street every second Wednesday of the month. And the next show is March 13th.
The very day that this comes out.
Get the word out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and thank you guys for having me. And, you know.
Make sure to subscribe yeah. to the Ty make Rainey sure, podcast.
Yes, on, please. Make sure to subscribe to the Ty Rainey podcast, available on SoundCloud and iTunes as well. And also subscribe to my YouTube channel, Comedian Ty Rainey, where I have I'm producing a series called The Pancake Social, just getting local that's comics right. from the area. And we're just kind of opening up some dialogue about comedy, their experience in comedy. And we're going to dig a little bit deeper, talk about mental health and all this other stuff that kind of comes along with life and comedy.
You know what? That's I also awesome. I watched a couple videos of you earlier killing it at Scotty's Comedy Cove and one of the New York rooms.
Thank you.
But that was great. We thoroughly enjoyed your stand-up.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing you on the 13th.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. The Decomposition Podcast.
Anytime.
Thank you.
All right, and with that, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, song suggestions, please reach out to us. You can get to us via email at decompositionpod@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at @decomp_pod, Facebook and Instagram at Decomposition Podcast. Get yourself onto the Apple Podcast. Drop us a rating or a review. Let us know what we are doing, good, bad, or otherwise. In the meantime, thanks again for listening, and you just chill till the next episode.